Chapter 18. Assault on Gallatin. Toxins blared out angry warnings all over Gallatin. The Star Fortress's real space engines remained constant in pitch, but the noise from the reactors changed substantially, ramping up to full power output. The noise was so distinctive that Justinian had come to recognize it quickly during his time aboard.
"Prepare, prepare," said a machine-generated voice. "Enemy fleet inbound. Enemy fleet inbound. Prepare for engagement in 22 minutes, 3 seconds. Initial munitions launched. Stand by for impact in 22 minutes.
The alarms had been going on for an hour. Shortly after they began, Justinian's squad had been pulled up from the muster intended to land upon Parmenio and reassigned station defense duties at a crossway fort some distance away. They eschewed transport, leaving the deck trains free for less mighty warriors, and jogged along a corridor 15 kilometers long towards their destination. The corridor was so long it lost itself to perspective before it curved around the station's heart. It would take a mortal lifetime to get to know the whole of Gallatin, but though massive, the corridor was thronged with people and crew trains rushing personnel to their stations. Justinian followed a cartolith projected by his helm. A faint directional rune indicated the way he should go. His squad was a pulsing green dot. If he zoomed in on the dot, it broke apart to show his troopers individually, with tags revealing their names. Drusus, Pimento, Achilleos, Griselis, Cadrian, Dacine, Donasto, Michaelis, and his second, Maxentius Drontio. On the cartolith, his own icon was decorated by a skull, Maxentius Drontio by a white dot in the centre of the green. 10 warriors, all until recently Blue Cad members of the unnumbered Sons of Gilliman. Now they were Nova Marines, in name, if not yet in heart. A double-decker crew train rushed past on the monorail. The last half was made up of freight cars bearing tons of ammunition boxes, and on flatbeds behind that, Astra Militarum tanks. The larger halls of Gallatin were large enough to accommodate armor war. The station was tense. They had been preparing for a landing action until this unforeseen fleet approached them halfway in system. The main plan was in disarray, supplanted by backup strategies. Chapter Master Bardan Devaro had reacted quickly. Gallatin had never been taken in all the Imperial portion of its history. The warriors aboard were confident that it would not fall now. The question was not if they would lose, but how long they would be delayed in reaching Gilliman to play a decisive role in the Battle of Parmenio, and what risks should be taken to shorten that time. Justinian pushed these thoughts away. He was a sergeant, not a captain. These concerns were not his. He was being presumptuous, thinking on them. Mortal crewmen and Astra Militarum moved aside and cheered as the squad thumped past. They came to their destination, a crossway fort built around a junction where a radial corridor intersected the ringway. Although thousands of years of additions had distorted Gallatin's shape, it had originally been circular, and the interior was laid out as a series of concentric ring corridors pierced every 3 kilometers by routes leading to the periphery. Each intersection was defended by similar void-hardened fortifications. The junction expanded the crossroad into a large hexagon half a mile across. 4 round towers stood free of the walls in a hollow square so that fire could be directed on all sides. Their positioning gave the illusion that the corridors formed a simple cross. Reinforcing the impression were the monotracks for the ship trains that crossed in the middle of the courtyard. The ceiling was 30 meters high at the center. 2 armored murder corridors joined opposite towers to each other diagonally, crossing in the middle to make a large X over the rails. 4 others joined the corners of the square together. 4 more armored bridges led from the towers into the main body of the station. As the Primaris Marines entered the courtyard, the rune pulsed. Fresh infoscreed directed Justinian through the crossway fort square towards its command nexus. The squad moved in perfect formation with Justinian. Their double file curled round and came to a halt at the base of one of the towers. Remote weapon systems tracked the Primaris, while their machine spirits requested the Space Marines' full ident codings from their battle plate. Justinian halted his squad.
"Wait here," he told them.
The door read his genetic coding. It opened, grudgingly, shutting as soon as he was inside. He found his way up to the 5th floor, whose entirety was occupied by a command station. Green-tinted armour-glass windows angled down, allowing views of the base of the tower. Firing slits pierced the metre-thick walls. Murder holes opened in the floor over the tower's banked base. A Nova Marine lieutenant was busy at the room's hololithic table, which displayed the immensity of Gallatin and the enemy fleet, tens of thousands of kilometres out, coming in like an army of mosquitoes advancing on a carnosaur. A couple of Nova Marines and a host of mortals gathered around the desk. Most of the humans were unmodified Astra Militarum officers. There were a few who looked to be station crew, servitors of the usual recording subtypes, and a sole Adeptus Mechanicus adept with four spindly metal arms. Justinian marched up to the gathering. They had evidently just concluded whatever business they had and were dispersing when he presented himself.
Lieutenant Dermo, Sergeant Justinian Paris, 6th Auxiliary Squad, reporting.
He saluted, arm across his chest, the Ultramarian way. It occurred to him then that he had not seen the Nova Marines formally saluting each other, and he had no idea how they did, or even if they did. The lieutenant gave him a long, calculating look. He wore his helmet, and so his expression was hidden, but his body language betrayed his suspicion.
"I have been expecting you. You are attached to the 5th Company?" "For the last 3 weeks, yes. You requested reinforcements, so we were sent here."
"I did," said Adomo.
"You will not be aware, but the fleet that is bearing down on us is sizable."
He gestured at the icons inching towards the three-dimensional graphic of Gallatin.
"They are a match for the fleet in orbit around Parmenio. A new player has entered the fray. The lead ship is the Terminus Est. Do you recognize that name?" "Yes, my lord. It is the flagship of the Plague Lord Typhus. He is coming at us with all his followers. His involvement in this battle is unexpected, for he has been operating away from his fallen Primarch. He will attempt to board us and destroy Gallatin. That is why you have been split from the landing parties and sent here."
"I understand, brother lieutenant," said Justinian.
"Do you have experience of battle?" asked the lieutenant.
The question irritated Justinian. The lieutenant looked formidable, but Justinian was sure if they sparred, he would win. This was not the first time he had encountered a cool welcome.
"We've been fighting with the Primarch on the Indomitus Crusade for the last century. My cohort was awoken shortly after he arrived on Terra. We have plenty of combat experience, lieutenant."
The lieutenant relaxed.
"Good. There are stories about you Primaris Marines coming into battle straight out of stasis, and that has not always been successful. Even now I hear of it happening. There appears to be a nearly endless supply of your type."
"I do not think that is so, sir," said Justinian.
He hid his irritation at the man. It was easy to do. He had plenty of experience of that as well.
"It seems that way," said the lieutenant.
The rank was a new one to the chapters, introduced in Gilliman's Nova Codex Astartes.
"I do not care how much training and hypnomad time you have had, nor for how long. In blood and fury is a warrior forged."
"We have seen plenty of both," said Justinian.
"All right, all right. Forgive me, I have not yet fought by the Primaris Marine's side. We are a chapter with deep roots and an aversion to change."
He pointed at Justinian's bolt rifle.
"But change can be good. I hear these things have a range advantage over bolt guns."
"An additional effective 60 meters. said Justinian.
He offered his bolt rifle up. The lieutenant took it and looked it over. For a second, the weapon appeared awkward in Adermo's hands. A moment later, he handled it like he'd been using it for decades. He sighted down the combined block and barrel, which was substantially longer than that of the bolt gun maglock to his thigh.
"It is heavy. I do not know if I would prefer it over my bolter. Is the stopping power greater?"
"Not by much. Its greatest advantage over the bolt gun is in its range, as you mentioned."
The lieutenant handed the weapon back.
"Range is good, but this fight will be decided at close quarters."
He turned back to the hololith. It flickered and displayed a floating roster.
"I have 500 Astra Militarum here and 4 squads of our chapter."
He paused. Justinian felt his cheeks colour. For an insane moment, he felt the lieutenant could sense his discomfort with his new brotherhood, and his words, "our chapter," were a question and not a statement. "I'm being paranoid," he thought. The lieutenant continued.
"Two full tactical, a Devastator and a demi-squad of assault. I want you to shadow Devastator Squad Amarillo. Keep the enemy off them. They have Astra Militarum support, but you are superior guardians. If the enemy get in close..."
He looked out of the window. From his vantage point, he could see a good distance either way down both the radial and the circular corridors. They were long and plain, with all buttressing plated over, designed to offer minimal shelter to boarding parties. But the nature of battle aboard spacecraft meant close-quarter engagements were inevitable.
"If they get in close, do whatever you can to stop them from taking out my heavy weapons. These plague warriors are resilient. We will need the heavy bolters." "Yes, my lord."
Adermo did not mention how Justinian's squad was supposed to work with the mortal soldiers. Justinian inferred a contempt for their abilities from that omission. If he was right, that was another difference in culture he would have to assimilate.
"You are dismissed, Sergeant," said Adermo. "I have a lot to do."
The lieutenant turned to speak with a human aide. Justinian bowed his head and left the command post. Outside, his Primaris brothers were busy checking their weapons. Talk between them was minimal. Maxentius Drontio gave a crisp, one-handed Aquila salute over his chest plate.
"Where to, brother?" he asked. "We are to guard a fire support unit, Tower Tertio."
Maxentius Drontio snorted.
"Shooting things at a distance. I would prefer to get in close. I do not like to hang back."
Justinian felt the same. Marching about the corridors of Galatan could not match the exhilaration of dropping from the edge of space onto the battlefield as in Scepter, his prior posting. Here, he was to be employed by his new brothers on escort duty, war of a far less glorious order. Kept out of the way, untrusted. He could say none of this, even though Maxentius Drontio knew they both felt the same.
"We have our orders. We will fulfil them," said Justinian. "Yes, sir," said Maxentius Drontio.
He waved the others into action.
"Squad, you heard the brother sergeant. Move out."
The silhouette of the Terminus Est was known the galaxy over as a harbinger of terror, death, and decay. Nurgle was bountiful to the flagship of his mortal herald. 10 millennia of his kind attentions had transformed it from a leviathan of plasteel into a decaying, prowling warp beast of a thing, more dripping flesh than technology. The Terminus Est seethed with plague magic. It shimmered across the mortal realm in a haze of disease and frenzied fecundity. A part of Nurgle's realm had been cut free and turned loose to roam the stars. In the Terminus Est's company was an armada of craft from every part of history. Though vessels of the heresy years predominated, human ships of all types and even Xenos vessels flew together in putrid comradeship, prizes taken in war by Typhus's dread first company. Despite the ship's diversity of origin, they had more in common than less, for all were part transmogrified by Nurgle's power. Their crews were warped into hideous, disease-ridden similarity. United in monstrousness, they were like nothing else in the galaxy but each other. There was comfort in their shared suffering. Millions of tons of ordnance came ahead of the fleet. Aged cannon shells preceded torpedoes whose metal skins were knotted with arthritic bone. The slime covering them was defiantly unfrozen in the killing void chill. Green fire gutted in drive units, forever on the edge of burning out, but they flew true enough, coming in a broad spread at the port side of Galatan. Fired half a day before the torpedoes, the shells had been hundreds of thousands of kilometers ahead, but the steady acceleration of the missiles had them arriving not far behind. The ships followed their munitions at full burn, moving in a broad interception crescent to envelop the fort. In the prows of every ship, slavering, rotten-toothed maws concealed the emission vanes of ancient lance batteries. For the time being, these held their silence. In Void War, timing was everything. The ships at the fore of the fleet were the least corrupted, still recognizable as built things. Strings of matter clogged Gothic spires. Their hulls sprouted fleshy blisters from the metal, and their surfaces were unnaturally pitted with corrosive chemical reactions that should have ceased in the changeless void. But they were the least altered. Tormented ident signifiers bleated out from them. If their appearance was insufficient proof, the cries of damned machine spirits revealed the truth. Recently captured Imperial ships ran ahead of Typhus's deadly armada. Their data casts sent the machines of Galatan into twitches of fear. When they neared and the moans of their warp-cursed crew were voxcast on all frequencies, the effect on the human defenders was the same. A bow wake of dread preceded the plague fleet. The pieces were set. On one side, the corrupt and corrupting fleet of Typhus, the herald of Nurgle. On the other, the mighty star fortress Galatan and its small escort. One side was bound by physics, the other was not. This was Typhus's advantage. Swarms of demonic flies surrounded his vessel, conjured from the non-stuff of the immaterium to serve as a living shield. His vessels lived in a way machines should not, and they were resilient because of it. Their ammunition was possessed of many strange and deadly properties. Galatan had a few advantages of its own. At the permission of the Mechanicus battle conclaves who dwelt aboard, ancient weapons slid free of their housings and charged, drawing hard on Galatan's quad reactors, which, by the activation of pledge oaths dating back thousands of years, ran near full capacity. Before the torpedoes were 18,000 kilometers away, Galatan's primary weapons were unleashed. The science of the guns was long lost. They were plasma cannons of incredible might. Thousands of tech priests were detailed to forestall burnout with constant prayer. But though misunderstood, the guns functioned still. Bright energies left lines burning upon the dark of space as they slashed out at the plague fleet. Void shields collapsed in toppled series, and one craft burned to nothing from the first salvo alone. In silence, this occurred. The plague ships glided nearer. Galatan coasted on, Parmenio growing slowly in the cosmic distance. To an outside observer, Galatan was an indomitable, sunlit mass, a single titanic creature fighting off a predatory swarm of lesser things. The furious activity of its component cells was invisible. The prayers to the Emperor and Machine God had no purchase in the void. From the strategium sealed deep in Galatan's heart to the least of its thousands of gun batteries, humans, cyborgs, and transhumans engaged in the labor of war. All of this frenzy was concealed by austere exteriors and the flare of potent weapons. Still the plague fleet sailed without returning fire, their spread of shells to the foremost, warped torpedoes following, then the captured ships running in close after. Again, the antique weaponry of Galatan conjured incandescent starfire. Again, void shields flared, giving off colors unlike any Imperial energy barrier, sickly greens and bile yellows. A large ship was hit and disabled. Its reactor stayed whole, if that was indeed what powered it still, but it fell out of line, brief fires burning in the exposed fleshy caverns of its interior, caping the vessel in the black smoke of singed flesh. The astropaths within Galatan's relay winced at its screams. The plague fleet came closer, ominous as a phantom flotilla from some backworld tale. Augurs and picked units caught clear images of what approached. It was a display of force, a promise of what was to come. Within his strategium, Chapter Master Devaro was glad few of his mortal crewmen could see the horrors bearing down on the fortress. The third time the ancient weapons opened fire, the lesser guns and devices of the station were within range. The third discharge signaled their unleashing, and the void was suddenly filled with a tumult of light and fire so intense that the calm of a moment before seemed impossible. This time, the Imperial guns dared target the Terminus Est. This time, the plague fleet returned fire. Dancing streaks of green lightning leapt across the void, intermingled with the bright line slash of lance fire. Unleashed energies outpaced the torpedoes and shells in the blink of an eye, slamming into Galatan with devastating force. Flickering storms blazed all over its port side for 20 kilometers and more. Void shields flared bright, their light dropping through the spectrum as their ability to displace energy into the warp was reduced, until they became but purplish coronas, creeping around jutting bastions and docking piers. Galatan was blessed with dozens of shield banks. Deep within its armored shell, thousands of serfs labored under the stern oversight of the tech adepts. Choirs sang hosannas to the glory of the machine, while laboring gangs ejected expended shield capacitors and replaced them with fresh ones brought on squealing rails from armored storehouses. Each was the size of a small gunship and required the muscle power of hundreds of men to switch. They heaved, rolling the devices from their transports and slamming them into cavernous sockets. Weapons fire flew freely between the fleet and the battle station. The moaning wails of the damned infiltrated the fortress's voxnet until it overwhelmed communication, causing Dovaro to order it shut down, and all messaging to be moved to hard wires. It made no difference. An unholy meld of sorcery and science projected the screams. Simultaneously, the noosphere of Galatan was subjected to probing by sorcerer's attack code. It came streaming in on pulse broadcasts of warp-infused EM waves. Deep within the never-space of cogitator banks and serial-linked servitor mines, Magi waged an informational war against demonic attack. The machine spirits of Galatan found themselves besieged before its human defenders had time to raise their lasguns. Again, the lightning batteries and warp lancers of the plague fleet blazed. Again, their unclean magics racked at the void shields of one specific spot, stripping layers back until but one shielding matrix remained intact. The shells hit a microsecond later. Titanic detonations turned the void into a boiling sea of fire that roiled and went out, taking down the last shield with it. The torpedoes came next, burning the last of their fuel hard to increase their kinetic impact. They slammed into the hull of the fortress. With melter arrays and chomping ranks of demon teeth, they chewed through layered ceramite and plasteel like maggots burrowing through the hides of livestock. They detonated deep within, bringing bursts of flaming atmosphere gouting into the void. Galatan was unconcerned by such a petty wound and continued to fire, bringing down 2, 3, then 5 smaller vessels in the main fleet. All but one of the enslaved Imperial ships were annihilated. Like all the masters of the Nova Marines before him, Dovaro was a master of void warfare. He could see what Typhus intended. The Herald of Nurgle had been responsible for the loss of 3 star fortresses already. His tactics were well known by now.
"Concentrate fire upon that captured ship," Dovaro commanded. "Do not let it through."
Blazing fire all along its flanks, the final captured Imperial craft sliced through the gap in the shield arrays and slammed hard into the weakened section of Galatan. The corroded prow rammed into the upper surface, smashing aside spires and gun towers, and ripped up the underlying hull skin like a divine plough turning a field of iron. Explosions blustered upwards from the impact. Clouds of gas roared outwards in white plumes. Thousands of cubic meters of atmosphere vented in a moment. The diseased ship jutted, its underside trailing debris from the hit. Its rear rose up, its ram snagged in the star fortress, threatening to break its spine. The moans of tortured metal vibrated through the halls of Galatan. Dorsal maneuvering engines fired. Jets of incongruous purity blasted from rusted slots and nozzles, and the ship came to a halt, hovering over the star fortress, starboard side down, prow pressed in a dead kiss against the station's fabric. At point-blank range, the remaining guns of its starboard batteries opened fire, turning the scar in the space station into a glowing chasm. Behind it flew an armada of smaller craft. Ancient dreadclaw assault pods and boarding torpedoes of every size raced around attack rams and invader-class landing frigates. Anti-fighter fire made the void around Galatan a deadly weave of light, but there were so many ships. The Terminus Est came with them, fulfilling its ancient role of assault ship. Weapons fire of every conceivable sort burned against its void shields. They flickered sickening colors as they failed. The weapons blasts hit the hull, tearing up flesh steel. Pus wept into the void. Fires burned along its noisome hull, but it could not be stopped. In the breach, the captured Imperial ship was quickly reduced to a hulk. Pushed away by Galatan's fire, it drifted, burning into space, the crew aboard sacrificed. It had performed its role. A wound had opened Gallatin's thick hide to the void. The forked prow of the Terminus Est opened its hangars. Hundreds of gunships blustered out between gargantuan teeth. As numerous as flies in a swarm, the followers of Typhus, first captain of the Death Guard, poured aboard Gallatin.